You are now immersed in the Superfans Soccer Cast with your hosts, Maddie Savage and Mike Apex. It's about to get lit.
Welcome in, super fans. We are glad to have you with us. We have a loaded episode. This is yours truly, Maddie Savage. Got Mike Apex here with me. How you doing, Mike?
Doing great. And you said it best. We got a loaded baked potato because it's going to be hot and it's going to be stuffed this episode, bro. So I can't wait to put the butt on it and, get it popping.
Putting the butter on it. Is it ice cold butter? Is it nice and, is it cold Palmer butter? Is that what you're putting on
this,
that?
This that parquet. I can't believe it's not butter over here.
Okay.
got another one.
I made a comment about Cole Palmer. We just finished up the Club World Cup. And he was shivering. He was ice cold in the match. I know you were watching. Chelsea Football Club are the Club World Cup champions after a, was it, is 3-0? 4-0? 3-0.
3-0. 3-0
beatdown of PSG that nobody saw coming. Nobody.
Nobody. Nah. This was a bare knuckle beatdown. I mean, Tyson had a, there was a saying Mike Tyson had. He said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And that's what happened to PSG, bro. That I'm glad I didn't bet on it because I would have lost everything. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was going to be a really close match. I thought it was going to go down to PKs. And that's what I was expecting. And like you said, when Cole came out there, this kid was ice cold. I mean, it was, man, just a straight up beat down, smack down. Can you smell it? Smell what the Rock is cooking.
I have to give a shout out and give credit to Chelsea where credit is due. They flipped the script on PSG and did exactly what PSG has been doing to so many teams. I mean, there was a run in this tournament where they didn't get scored on for so many games and they were just putting teams out of business, seemed like. And they did that pressing style of play against them, and it was almost like PSG didn't expect it or didn't know how to handle it or something. And there was a couple of calls back and forth that, you could say dives or you could say this or that. But I'm sorry, but you get your hair pulled. That's too crazy right there. I would probably go down too. I don't have long hair like Cucurella. But yeah, that was a crazy call right there. What was the guy thinking is all I can say. Come on. It doesn't take much for you to be like, my hair. And it's like these guys, especially a certain nationalities, right? Whenever they're playing football, it don't take much for them to fall down. We're looking at you, João Pedro.
Well, these Americans ain't too far off. But, yeah, sticking with the WWE theme, that hair pull was crazy. Like, I mean, yeah. Talk about dramatic. Like you said, broski. This was a classic case of giving them a taste of their own medicine, right? This you said it. They used the same strategy that PSG has been using, and they've been on a run ever since, they won over in Europe. They won the cup over there. And shout out to those guys. They've been riding it high. But Chelsea coming in like this, they beat them at their own game. And here's the sad thing. PSG couldn't adjust. They didn't make any adjustments. That's correct. Bro.
Yeah. That's the sad part about it is, for them to be the champions of the UEFA, to be running the tables the way that they were, you would think that, okay, if a team does the same thing that we do, they would have some kind of plan or adjustment or players to come off the bench. I mean, that was the thing that was shocking to me, that they either didn't adjust or didn't bring the people on to affect the game and change it up. I mean, We see that in MLS where if it's not working at halftime, make adjustments. And shout out to BJ Callahan for, you know, the job that he's done with our team. Almost every game, it seems like, yeah, we're going to be making some adjustments. Because if, I mean, other than maybe the Chicago game where we were just blowing them out at halftime, you know, it's like, okay, this isn't working the way we want it to, so let's change it up here or there. And, yeah, and PSG, you had an extra time with the halftime because of the halftime show, which was excellent, by the way.
Yeah, they did a great job. I'm glad you mentioned that. Kudos. Shout out to, we were hard on the yard on those guys with those high ticket prices and et cetera, but they actually put on a great tournament. You know what I'm saying? It was very captivating. It was very entertaining. Shout out to the American teams, the MLS teams that did pretty good. You know what I mean? They did pretty decent, but no, you're exactly right. And shout out to your Nashville boys, you know, my other team. That's what it's about, making adjustments. You're there to win. PSG has too much talent on that team for them, like you said, for the coach, I got to call him the coach, for him not to, you know, sub guys in or do what he got to do to win. He's just sitting there. I'm like, yo, what's going on? And some of the guys did not show up. What's his face? The one guy that had been really hot all tournament long, scoring for them.
Dembele?
Yes. Thank you. He you know. They kind of neutralized them or, you know, very underwhelming performance by those guys. And I saw a lot of finger pointing in such afterwards, right? I don't know if you've been noticing that.
Yeah, speaking of WWE, you brought that up. It seemed like they were having a throwdown after the match. You know, normally it's cordial. It's, you know, handshakes and dabbing people up and it's love. But, I mean, the coach went after one of the players and he's allegedly grabbed him by the throat. I mean, it was crazy. That just shows you that they it was intense as far as, you know, them wanting to win and the desire and intensity was there. But sometimes you can go, you know, a step too far and that one was a step too far. And I'm sure that Luis Enrique will be hearing from FIFA about that one there. I don't know if they're going to fine him. If they already have, I'm not sure. But, yeah, something needs to be done because that was that one almost took the headlines over Trump staying on the stage for the trophy ceremony. I mean, that one, it was just an end. If you missed the ending of the Club World Cup final, man, it was a movie. It was a movie.
Yeah, it was a movie, almost a horror movie, right? I love the passion, but here's my question. You're right, Maddie. Where was that passion during the match? Why was, you know what I'm saying? Like, where was that during the match? Why are you going off after the match and now you want to, you know, turn into, you know, the Hitman, you know what I mean? And Macho Man and Dusty Rhodes and everybody else, you know what I'm saying? You want to turn into those dudes, the Ultimate Warrior, after the match. Dude, where was you at during the match? You know, and that's what I love. We love soccer, football, international guys. We love it because we love the passion. This is it. And I'm gonna beg to differ with you as far as him being fine. They know the passion. They ain't gonna. They might talk to him, of course, but I don't see any major fine. You know, they may say whatever because they know how heated they get over there, right? So I think they'll give him a little something, but I don't expect anything too big. You know, no big fine or whatever. But America, yes, you know, over here they want to, you know, pacify these guys and, you know, give them the Charmin TP treatment, you know, with all of this stuff. But nah, man, I love the passion and all of that. And but y'all should have did that during the match, bro.
Yeah. Leave all that WWE to the professionals and whatnot. Yeah, that was a little excessive, a little crazy. But yeah, Trump couldn't get out of the way and he turned the trophy lift into, you know, a time where we can all point and laugh at him. But I mean, hey, he just wanted to, you know, enjoy those guys. I mean, I give kudos to him for staying the whole game. I didn't think he was going to stay the whole game. I'm just going to be honest with you, Mike. I figured he would have, you know, stayed in the halftime show and, you know, oh, some important business comes up I got to get, you know, but he stayed the whole time. did a celebration and, you know, in classic Trump fashion and had to make it about him. But yeah, it was a good all told with everything that we've mentioned. It still was a good turnout and a good tournament.
It really was. Trump, you know, he's a president, but he's also a celebrity and such, and a personality. And, you know, me growing up in Jersey, and, you know, people forget Trump owned the New Jersey Generals. And he drafted Herschel Walker back in the day, right? Herschel Walker went to the USFL before he went to the NFL, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, they were popping and, you know, Trump owned the team at the time. So, and he's a big sports head, definitely, you know what I'm saying? And we know about his with boxing and, you know, the casino.
And WWE.
and WWE. You're right. So he does this, right? And him being up there on the stage, you know, he was kind of basking and relishing the moment. But Trump is good friends with the FIFA president, if I'm not mistaken. What is his name? Infantino, from what I heard. He's cool with him, right? So, you know, and he knows a lot of these guys. But Trump is a sports head. I will give him that. He's been at, seen him at college sports, NFL, Super Bowls. Now he's out supporting,
UFC.
Soccer. Yes. Thank you. I think he should. Hopefully he's right there. You know, you got Miami down there, Trump, if you're in Miami or if you're in New York, support MLS. Get out there and, you know, he was in New York, so the fans, you know, they're going to boo. You know how we do up there. They're going to boo just because. But, yeah, it was good to see him out there and, you know, supporting it. And definitely good for the players. But, yeah, man, I enjoyed that tournament. Again, salute to FIFA. Club World Cup, they did an excellent job, I thought, with the referees. Let me shout out the referees, too. I thought the referees did a solid job. I got to be honest. You know, both you and I watched a lot of these matches. I didn't see a lot of crazy controversial calls overall. I thought they were pretty consistent. What say you on that? You see any biasness or?
No, not really. I have to agree that they did a good job. They called it straight. I mean, even whenever you had the red card situation with the Kukurea and the hair pulling, I feel that, yeah. I mean, it was well deserved. I mean, it just, you don't do that. And just, but yeah, other than that, yes, they played it straight to where they let the teams do the battling and they didn't insert themselves to where we're talking about, oh, a blown call or a call that affects the game in such a way that instead of, you know, being a blind justice, you know, where you got the scales, you're tipping the scales. A lot of these sports, there's allegations of, you know, referees affecting games and things. You couldn't say that about this match. They called it down. There was no calls where, hey, this and this happened, and, oh, they get a stupid penalty that's, you know, controversial or something like that. That wasn't, not in this game, and that was good.
Excellent point. And, hey, super fans, the fans don't lie, right? You know, say the ball don't lie, the fans don't lie. If it would have been a lot of bogus calls, the fans would have been, you know, they would have let them know, right?
Right.
The fans would have been outraged, you know. They're not afraid. I don't care what anybody says. I think soccer fans are the most passionate fans out of any sport, in my opinion, right? Worldwide, they're the most passionate. And they, like you said, Maddie, you know, the refs kept their integrity and it wasn't any bogus calls, anything where they were rigging the game. Because we know when they're, you know how I put on the tinfoil cap quick if I see some BS going on, you know what I'm saying? But no, I thought they did good. And, yeah, great job with it.
Well, let's move on from one Chelsea team to another. We have the men's Chelsea Football Club winning the Club World Cup. And the women's Chelsea Football Club, and yes, if you're not aware, they do have a women's team.
Hey, ladies.
The ladies, that's right. They lost a player, and this said player is going to the NWSL on the most lucrative contract in the NWSL history. We're
Hold on, man. I don't mean to interrupt you. Yeah, I want to interrupt you, but she's leaving from Chelsea to come to the NWSL?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, and the lady in question is Mia Fischel. Mia Renee Fischel, for sure.
Mm.
And she's a part of the U.S. Women's National Team. And the deal is for $2.5 million over four seasons, and that breaks down to roughly $625,000 per season. And me and you, Mike, we were talking before we got to recording. This lady here, she's making more than some players in the MLS. Isn't that crazy?
Yikes. Shout out to the ladies. Shout out to our ladies soccer players, the U.S. Women's National Team, all international ladies. We love you, too. We're going to give you guys some more love, right? We're going to start giving you guys some more love because deservedly so. Dude, this is crazy. We just went over the salary. Guys, super fans, Maddie and I broke it down to the very last compound some episodes ago, the salaries, right, and lack thereof with the pay. For this young lady to leave Chelsea to come over here and get a guaranteed $2.5 million, what'd you say, Maddie, $620,000 per year? For you, that's excellent. That's great. That's great. And that's great for women's soccer, right? Women's professional soccer, NWSL. We talked about them with their lucrative, smart and lucrative MLS, commish, we love you, but Garber, look out, look out. All of those streaming deals, TV deals, marketing deals. Maddie, please let the superfans know. You were talking earlier, and you were kind of comparing and contrasting the WNBA and how the NWSL and how they're kicking their butt.
Right. I mean, just take this lady for use her as an example, right? So she's got a cumulative contract of $2.5 million. It's the most in league's history. You got her coming from a very good team in Chelsea, a known quantity, and coming from England to the U.S. I mean, this would be the same. This would be the same type of story as similar terms as Messi coming to America. I mean, that was the same.
Oh.
And they're doing this all without anybody, no big brother to back them up, right? So with the WNBA, we know they're subsidized mostly. Not with the advent of Caitlin Clark and others, the league is improving. And not just her. I don't want to sound like I'm just Caitlin Clark. The league as a whole, I mean, Aaliyah Boston, that's another one that's coming up. I mean, really since Griner.
Brittany Griner? Okay.
Yeah. Brittany Griner, she was kind of the – it was her and Maya Moore. Those were – that was kind of like the wave of new – and it started there and now is ending up to where the WNBA is becoming – is very popular, very competitive. Yes. And, I mean, it's growing. How many expansion teams do they have now? It's crazy.
They are adding like five teams, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it's going crazy.
I say all that to say the WNBA can gamble. They have a big brother that's a billion-dollar behemoth. They're massive. So if these gambles don't pay off for them, okay, fine, we'll let you slide on that one. We'll bail you out. The NWSL doesn't have that same luxury. The moves that they make, they have to be calculated, they have to be on point, and then they have to follow through with them. So the fact that they're paying her $625,000 per season and $2.5 million is the cumulative contract, and it's the highest for the league, that is a excellent point, and it's showing growth to the NWSL, and it's good to see. Because we talk about the MLS and how, you know, it needs to grow, and it starts with these deals. Well, that's what the NWSL has done. These streaming deals and these partnerships, and it's starting to pay dividends. And we know, and you've mentioned, Mike, the U.S. Women's National Team, they don't win the World Cup for no reason. They've got very talented players and a very talented team. And a lot of them, not all, but a lot of them play in the NWSL. And it's about freaking time that they're getting their shine, they're getting their money, and they're playing professional soccer here. And good for on them.
Yes, very well put, Maddie. I appreciate that. Thank you. Pretty much breaking that down for the super fans. Just how well, and the commissioner, Jessica Berman, shout out to her, NWSL commissioner. She's doing a great job, guy. For them to get, like you say, Chelsea is a historic, you know, my favorite teams overseas are, of course, Tottenham Hotspur and PSG, who got the, you know what, spanked the other day. But, yeah, those are my teams. But shout out, that's coming from a historic team like Chelsea, like, to come to the NWSL. I mean, they're doing excellent. They're definitely on the rise. And just watching these girls, the matches, I'm going to be honest with you, super fans. If you're not watching some of these girls young ladies play in the NWSL, you're really missing out. You're really missing out because they play with a lot of passion. They aren't flopping around on the field like certain dudes, right? These girls are playing hard. And for her to come over here and get paid that type of money, it's only going to go up from here. Everything's up now, right? And these women, they deserve it. They earn it. And like Maddie say, our women have been the best in the world. The women's U.S. women's national team, they've been the best in the world since what? Forever? I mean, they've been the gold standard. So it's only right that we have a professional league where they can, get paid for their talents and not have to sit and wait every 4 years just for the Olympics or the FIFA, World Cup and stuff like that. But I love it, man. Great.
I got one point, the last point that I want to make, and this is crucial. So, yeah, we're counting pockets. We're talking about, the money that she's making. But I think that the overall, and this is the key point that I want to just kind of raise her focus in on, she's 24. It's not that she's approaching, we kind of, especially as MLS fans, me and you both, we want more talented players to come here and more established players, think of Messi, Ronaldo, these guys, and I'm glad we both are that Messi is here and everything else. But the MLS has this unfortunate kind of stigma of being a retirement league, where you go to Europe and then you make a good bit of money, and then when you're not quite as not skilled, because they're still skilled, you're not quite as, you can do it, but you can't quite do it as spry. Good word. Not as spry. So, but you still want to play. You still love to play, and you want to get a check for it. So it's like, okay, your latter years, you come to the MLS and just kind of, take it easy. But they're just going to slot, just eat it up. She's 24 years old. She's in the prime of her career, and she makes the decision to come to the NWSL. We need, MLS needs, to focus in on players like that want to come here, and we do need to get our funds up to offer their services. Because until that happens, then yes, we're going to be a retirement league, and we're going to be a ship our up and coming young stars off to go over to Europe, and then you're 28 now, you're 29 after you've played 50 game seasons for the past 8-10 years. Oh, now we'll come and the wheels are almost off, but not quite off yet. Yeah, you can come back to the MLS. It's like, come on, guys. Got to do better. And I'm glad that she made this decision, and congratulations to the NWSL. And we didn't even mention the team. She's going to the Seattle Reign.
She's going to Seattle Reign? Nice.
Seattle Reign, good pickup, good signing. We're happy for all involved.
Yeah, let me just add on real quick, because I like the point you made. Just speaking of Messi real quick, I heard Messi's trying to resign. He's trying to, looks like he may want to finish his career over here, guy. Because, you know, what's the team? What's the team over there in Saudi? It might be the team.
A couple of them over there.
But they wanted, you know, they wanted Messi. But from what I'm hearing, he's really leaning towards re-signing here. And I'm quite sure his buddy Beckham, shout out to Beckham, David Beckham, been to like Beckham. He wants him to stay, you know, with Miami, especially got the new stadium, right? Coming and everything. He has the official hydrating drink of the MLS. I mean, this guy's, I saw the commercial with him in Mahomes. And, you know, guys, any young players out there, up and come players, U.S. international, whatever, play over here, guys. Play over here in the MLS. You know what I'm saying? You see what we're doing. You see how competitive it is. Look at Messi. Right. Look what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? The money's going to come. Yeah, money's going to come. It's going to get better. But, yeah, that's all I was going to say. So, definitely, Mia Official. Got to call her Official, right? Give her a nickname already, Mia Official. yeah, good job. And, ladies, you guys can get paid now, you know? Definitely set the standard.
All right. Well, let's move on. Our next topic, and me and you were, well, really more so you, Mike, said it's the midway part of the season, and All-Star break is right around the corner. We should give the teams a midway or midterm grade. And I said, I don't know if we'll have enough time, Mike. I don't know. And I told you, this is what we should do. If you're in the playoff hunt, we'll give you a grade. And if you're not in the playoff hunt, you automatically get an F. So 10 through 15 on each of the conferences. Sorry, you get an F. So
can I get an incomplete grade if I didn't quite make the cut? Like if I got...
Nah. If
the 10th team, let's give the 10th team maybe an I, incomplete maybe. I don't know. They're on the border. You know what I mean? Like, they got more homework to do. Or you just say
give them one. Nah.
They get an F.
No, they get an F because, hey, the whole, look, you play to win the game. And you play to win games, and you play to make the playoffs. And if you're the 10th team, you are the outside looking in, so that's a failure. Just simple and plain. We're gonna start off with the Eastern Conference, right?
Let me pull up.
Go through the top 10 teams, and we're just gonna do simply A through F scale on where they're at, where they could be, should be, all of those things, right? So it's a simple A through F. I'm going to start this off with number one team in the East is still the Philadelphia Union. And for this super fan, I have to give them an A because I didn't even have them making the playoffs and they're leading the Eastern Conference. So from my perspective, they got to get a grade of an A.
I second that. I got to give those guys an A also. You know, we did our preseason picks earlier in this season. And, yeah, man, and I don't think either of us had Philly in the top five even, right? These guys are definitely an A. Even though you guys went in there, you guys have beat them, what, like twice already? Have you beat them?
We beat them at home and away. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you beat them twice already. And these guys are still, they're number one, sitting pretty number one. So definitely got to give those guys an A thus far for their midterm grade.
Okay. Second team is Cincinnati. And I'm going to sound a little bit harsh, but I picked them to win the, well, not win, but to be the number one team in the East. And they're number two. So I'm going to have to give them a B simply because they dropped a couple of games, maybe points and things where they haven't quite hit their stride. And that's scary to say them being number two and they haven't quite hit their stride. So that's why I give them a B.
You'll give them a B? I'll give them an A. I'm going to give Cincinnati an A. because with the talent, they're right. This is where I expected them to be. I think I might have had them at number two, if I'm not mistaken. I think I had Charlotte actually like number one, I think. That was me. But yeah, I give them an A. I'll give them an A thus far. Guys, been pretty exciting to watch, and they're surging right now.
All right. Number three is my Nashville SC. And look, you're going to say he's biased, but I'm going to give us an A, because even this super fan did not have us as high on the standings as we are. I had us probably about 7 or 8. I think when we did our playoff prediction episode, I thought we would make the playoffs, but we'd have our challenges. I didn't see the roster developing the way it has. So BJ Callahan, with his development, with his coaching, his adjustments, everything, right? A+.
A+. Okay. Look, man, you got a right to gloat, right? That's your team. Poke your chest out. You know, stay with your chest, man. Yeah, I remember I had you guys in there. I thought you guys were going to do good. I didn't know they were going to do this great. But you guys, I gotta give you an A+ also, guys. Shout out to Surridge. Shout out to Surridge. I mean, we already know Mukhtar and those guys. Cool. But Surridge, this is what we expected. When he came over, this is exactly what we expected. So we're not really surprised, super fans. Shout out to Nashville, Cashville. Keep it up. Definitely got a A+ thus far.
So I got a little insert right here on my notes, and I just want to insert this while you talked about Hani and Surridge, right? So I got wrote down, so the MLS is becoming like the NBA from years ago. Two-star duos are the move. And that's that really is. If you think about it, if you don't have a two-star duo where they're either complimenting each other or helping each other out, then your team's at a disadvantage. Think about San Diego with Andres Dreyer and Chuck Lozano, that two-man game. You got Hani and Surridge. There was some Dinke and Evander. I mean, that's really starting to be – I mean, it was last year was Messi and Suarez. They were kind of peanut butter and jelly. And really Messi and friends. It wasn't that they had a really good cohesion last year, and it hasn't quite clicked for them this season. But, yeah, if you go down the list, if you look at it, I mean, you guys, the Red Bulls with Choupo-Moting and Forsberg. It's becoming that if you don't have that two-man duo, then you're on the outside looking in a lot of times.
Sounds like Matty Savage and Mike Apex, the dynamic duo, right?
That's right.
Like Batman and Robin, that's, right? Superman and Batman. That's what it is over here.
I had to throw that in there, make sure to use my notes. So yeah, moving good along, number four on the playoffs for the Eastern Conference is Columbus. Okay. I'm going to give them a B. I'm going to give them a B because we kind of expect them with Wilfred Nancy and his system and everything else to kind of to always be there. And they've struggled since Cucho left, and they bring in Daniel Gosdog, but they still haven't quite been the Columbus that we know. So I can't give them an A, but I can give them a B.
Okay, fair enough. And you're right. They kind of like – they weren't at the bottom. I would say they started at the middle, and they kind of worked their way up, right, pretty much during the season. They were kind of – up and down early. We saw them play some big matches in particular against, I think it was Miami. Then they played that one against Miami. They got beat. And, you know, like you said, we expected these guys to be pretty much where they're at, and at least in the top five. But I would have to agree. I would give those guys, I'm going to give them a B-, right? Like you said, Cucho's gone, but they have enough talent over there and experience, right? These guys, you know, where they should have been, you know, they're in third right now. That's cool or whatever.
They're fourth.
Fourth, excuse me. they're in fourth right now. I give them a B- right now. I agree. I think they're underachieving.
Okay. Yeah, that's More to come for those guys, I think. Number five in the Eastern Conference is that team in pink, Miami, Inter Miami. It pains me to say this, but with everything that they've done and the fact that they have games in hand, I have to give them an A because I kind of expected them to – yeah, I know. I kind of expected them to – to juggle competitions, and they have, as far, when I say juggle competitions, I thought that they were going to sacrifice the MLS regular season for the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Then they didn't do that. They maintained that. Then you got the Club World Cup, right? Which, I mean, then they come back from the Club World Cup and Messi's on this tear, you know, scoring braces here and there, and they're clicking. Right now, they haven't run out of steam. That's my only caveat that I will say is as long as everybody stays healthy, they're going to be right there, you know, right at the upper echelons of the Eastern Conference. So they've held it together well, and I can't fault them for that. I can't sit there and say, "Oh, well, they DRF." Like, no, they're succeeding and they're right there. So Miami gets an A from me.
Oh, okay. As far as their play right now, because they're surging, they've won, what, like maybe four or five games in a row. Messi's marvelous right now. Messi's going crazy. I mean, he's showing and proving why, you know, he is the GOAT, right? He's really doing that right now. It's beautiful to watch. It's amazing. But think about this, guys. As great as Messi's been playing, Miami's at fifth. They're sitting at fifth, right? And because of that, the record has to reflect the grade for me, right? So I'm grading the exam right now. Midterms, guys. I'm gonna give them a B. Solid B. We know their weaknesses. We know their strengths, right? Again, shout out to Bender Light Beckham having that talk to our guy. And hey, he took it like a champ on the chin. Messi is the ultimate competitor. I'm not glazing, guys. I'm just saying, speaking the truth. Pause. You know what I'm saying? Messi, for all his greatness, they're sitting at number five. So I'm going to give him a B because all that offensive talent they have over there, shout out to Suarez and, you know, his other boys. They're trying to bring somebody else over there, too, from what's the guy from Argentina from the national team?
There's rumors that Rodrigo De Paul is going to be leaving from Atletico Madrid and going to be joining Miami. Apparently, it's pretty much a done deal. We're just waiting on the announcement, so we'll see how that pans out. And I don't know where how they're going to finagle the roster. I heard rumors that Benjamin Kramaski might be on the move for them to get some GAM to pay down some players to, you know, basically buy down DPs. Like, is they're going to be doing a whole lot of some
moving and shaking.
Sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. But is that going to translate into winning? Now, that's the question, right?
That is a good question.
Super fans, stay tuned. You see how real it is over in the MLS. All that talent, again, I mean, world-class talent, top-notch players, no doubt. But they're sitting at number five right now.
Yep, moving on. Number six is the other team in Florida, Orlando City SC. And they're about where I anticipated they would be. They were surging early on in the season, and they've kind of, especially over the past couple of weeks, kind of slowed it down. But I would give them a B for where they are currently, middle into the season. They have room to improve, for sure. If you're an Orlando City fan, you know that that's the case. But to be still in the playoff mix with the problems that, you know, can't seem to score goals certain games, and then other games they come plenteous. So once they get that offensive game plan chugging along and – I think that they're going to be right about there between six and five or six once everything is said and done. I don't see them moving up too much off the table, so they can't complain about where they're at currently. B.
Okay, agreed, agreed. I'll give him a solid B also. We've been fortunate. Matty Savage and I have been fortunate. We were at that stadium, right, when it was rocking down there. This time last year, if I'm not mistaken, they got somewhat of a home field advantage because it's so humid down there, right? You go down there, you're sweating your soccer balls off down there, right? So I think at home, these guys are great. We know their style, how they play. They were a little rough and tumble, their style or whatever. A little edgy. But I don't know their road record. I'm not quite sure how that road record is. I think they're, they win a lot at home, and their road record isn't quite as nice. But, yeah, I would give them a B at number six, I suppose.
Yep, I'm looking at their standings. They're six, and at home they're 5-3-3. At away they're 4-2-5. So you're right. They win more at home, and they win only one less away. But it seems that they don't draw. They lose when they're away. They don't. Mm-hmm. It's like they play better at home. 5-3-3 versus 4-2-5. So right. It seems that whenever they're away from, what is it, Inter & Co? I think it was when we went last season, which is crazy because it was just one season. It was like Xperia. Now it's Inter & Co. But anyways, yeah, it's when they're away from Orlando, they can't seem to catch a break. So let's get this thing popping. Seven is New York City FC. They are one spot up above your Red Bulls, and for that very reason, I had to give them. I didn't have them making the playoffs, first of all, and so I will give them a C because they are in the playoffs currently. They're not on the borderline. They have a fairly young team, and we mentioned it before the season. They let a lot, not let. That's a bad. They went in a different direction with a lot of different players. They transferred them out, moved them along, and they're still doing that. And to maintain a playoff positioning, I can't fault that. So that's a solid C.
Solid C for those guys. Yeah, if I can recall, I did have those guys in the top. I had them in the top nine as far as playoff contention. We know how they finished last year, making the playoffs, made a strong push towards the end of the season. I got to give them a B just because this is kind of where I figured they would be. So, they're right where I thought they would be. So I can't say that they're, average. I guess they're playing pretty good because they're higher. I thought they would be in like ninth right now. But I give them a B, Maddie, right now. I'll give them a solid. B minus.
A B minus. Okay. All right. There you go. All right. So the other team in New York across the Hudson is your New York Red Bulls. They are eighth. Mike,
yeah.
I got to be real with you. You guys have kind of been, I don't know. It's been tough. So I had to be tough with the grading. I think you guys are C minus because it could be so much better. So much better. You guys started off the season. I mean, that game you played against Nashville was, I was like, man, this team is out for, it was revenge time. Wanting to get back because of the MLS Cup, the way it went. And it hasn't went that way. You guys have, kind of fallen, especially on the road. Man, looking on the road. Y'all are 7-1-2 at home, 1-7-4 on the road. Woo!
Hello. Hello.
Yikes.
Yikes. Yeah, man. It's look, you're generous. You're very generous with the C minus. I can appreciate that. I got to give us a solid D. Right? For deficiency. Right? Vitamin D is very essential. And, they say you can get that from getting some sun rays. And, my guys, I know Captain Morgan. Shout out to Captain Morgan. He came back for a good 10, 15 minutes about four matches ago when he came back and ended up getting hurt again. I'm not making any excuses. You just said it, Maddie. That's it right there. Excellent home record. 7-1. We said 7-1 and what?
7-1-2.
7-1-2. Excellent home record. We get on the road and guys are not focused. That is a prime example of guys not being focused. And I'm not going to look. I'm going to keep it at a D right now. I don't want to, you know, because in my mind, back of my mind, I want to say F, but I'm going to say D. Yeah, I'm serious, man. And you know, coach has been switching up the lineups, allowing a lot of these younger guys to get in and play. And I like that he's, you know, kind of opening up and allowing other guys to get in there. But I don't know. Seems like a crapshoot thus far, and we've been crapping out.
Well, I mean, I will give you this little bit of tidbit that you can hang your hat on. The other, your rivals in NYCFC, they're not very good away from either Yankee Stadium or, was it, Citi Field?
So yeah.
They are 1-5-4 away from their home pitch. So they're not, so what, something about those New York clubs and not being able to win away from home. But let's go to our final team on the Eastern Conference. And so I believe that for time's sake, we're going to do the Eastern Conference this episode, and we're going to do the Western Conference in our next episode, because we have a very pressing topic that we need to get into in this episode before we forget and before the time passes us by. But
right.
I digress. The 9 team is Charlotte FC, and man, they've fallen so far from grace. I've been generous with my grading, and I'm going to give them a D because they were, at one point in time, the number one team in the East. We had high expectations, high hopes for this team. All indications are that Patrick Aujamon is going to be moving to England. The deal is pretty much done. He wasn't even in the lineup this past weekend because of they're so close to making the deal.
Right.
He's one of the young players. Addison Milanda has also been linked, as we talked about that last episode. So you're lower in the standings. You're going to have a big shakeup with your personnel middle of the season, but yet you're 9. It's not looking good because you're putting a lot of pressure on your general manager to hit a home run with your guys coming in to help out the squad and hit the ground running to help, you know, move you up the table. Because if there's any pause or any adjustment time and you lose a couple of games, you got teams right behind you that are, you know, they're licking their chops trying to get into the playoffs. So this is a very precarious situation, and I got to give them a D because they should be way up higher on the table with the talented team that they have.
All right. Yeah, I got to agree with you, broski. I'm going to give them a D-, right? I'm going to give them a D-, slightly. Look, they're right above an F, right? I had these guys pick number one in the East. And like Maddie said, guys, they were pretty much earlier in the season. I mean, these guys were in the upper echelon of the East. They were up in the top 5. At one point, they had the best record at one point, if I'm not mistaken. Look, Maddie, we had an episode. Remember the episode we had the Crystal Soccer Ball?
Right.
And I was trying to remember a lot of stuff that we said, you know, has come to fruition. A lot of it, maybe not so much. But I know you spoke about a young man that came to that team. And he goes by the name of Wilfried Zaha, right? And you were telling me, you said, Mike, you were noticing little things here, there, and, you know, just small stuff. And I said, no, that's nothing. It's just, you know, he's adjusting, he's adapting, he's competitive, he's this and that. But it just seems like the more as the season progresses, the more he keeps just showing us his ass, right? We just keep seeing this guy. I mean, if it ain't one thing, it's another. And the arrogance.
No humbleness whatsoever. I don't have, it's nothing wrong with being competitive and confident and borderline cocky even, because we know the great players are. This guy's highly talented. We know this. But, yeah, the coach has to take some responsibility. Yeah, we know the younger guys. And as you mentioned, Ajimon, shout out to Ajimon. Looks like he's going to be going to England. Hey, more power to the young man, right? But you brought this guy in here, and I had you guys number one for all things considered. Thought you guys had, we had the talent, but where's the maturity? Where's the leadership? Where's the mental testicular fortitude, right? Where is it? I mean, I don't see it, man. And like you say, Maddie, these guys, they just keep dropping and falling down. I mean, they're in ninth now. I'm not going to hold my breath. I don't know when they're going to, you know, they got the talent, but D minus.
I was talking with my brother about, because he's a Charlotte FC fan, and
yes,
I told him about the, you know, what's going on and how they could be possibly, you know, losing players and whatnot. And I dropped the name, and I'm going to drop the name for the episode. Charlotte FC, general manager, if you hear this, go all in for Gio Reyna. Go all in. He's a U.S. men's national team member. He's in a situation, and it's kind of a sticky situation. You're going to get some money from the Ajimon deal. You're possibly going to get some from your Addison Milanda, potentially, if he does make a move this time around. Like I said, if you're going to have the money, spend the money. And he would fit the team. You could put him right alongside Pep Biel and Ashley Westwood and just keep things clicking.
And no, he did great.
Keep Toklamati up front. Keep Vargas and Zaha on the outsides. Toklamati in the middle. Your two mids will be Pep Biel and Gio Reyna with Westwood as a holding midfielder.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like you're cooking with something there. I mean,
and he's a young kid. What is he, like 22? Yeah, he's young. Yeah, yes, man.
So you might even be able to use your U22 initiative signing as well. I don't know how that will work. There's some finagling. They need to go out and make a splash, bring him over here, and see what he can do. That's my word of advice. But
we're
going to move on to our last topic of this episode. And guys, stay tuned for that next episode where we go into on the Western Conference, because those grades are still going to be coming for Western Conference. So don't think that the test is over by no means.
Oh, yeah. My host, the Wild Wild West. Yeah, yeah.
So we have some more coaching carousel news. And if you followed along with us, you know the reference that I'm talking about. Anytime a coach is let go, we say it's the coaching carousel. Well, after the Wednesday night U.S. Open Cup match of the Nashville versus D.C. United, where Nashville got the win 5-2, D.C. United decided to part ways with their head coach,
LeSaint.
We both really liked him. He's a younger guy, full of passion and energy and enthusiasm. Really, you could tell that he enjoyed doing what he did. DC United decided to part ways with him, and that's fine. We both don't have problems with guys losing their jobs. It happens every day. However, when you let a guy go and have his replacement the very next day, hold up. That's a red card. That's a backstabbing red card. How in the world can you have somebody's replacement the very next day? What if they had won? Were you going to fire him even if he won? Like, come on, guys. Mike, please get into this. Share with the fans what's your opinion on what's going on, because I have my own, and I want to share it with them.
Well, you said it, and you said it best right there, broski. They smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place. The backstabbers, right? You just said it. Ain't no way. Because you were telling me, we were talking before the recording tonight, and I was like, look, guys, I got a soft spot in my heart for Troy Lassane, insane, in the membrane, right? Because he was with us. He was with my Red Bulls. He did a great job as an interim, very passionate. I mean, this guy got a yellow card in, you know, in the playoffs the year before last. And I just had, like I said, had a lot of nothing but respect for this guy. And him going out of D.C. United, initially we both were happy for him. He got opportunity to go down there. Like you said, Matt, he's a young guy, got a lot of energy, got a lot of good ideas as far as, you know, soccer, just strategy in general, because this guy was a great player also. However, I didn't realize this guy, his replacement, got hired. It's not interim, guys. This is stamped official replacement. And when Maddie told me this, it's disgusting, right? I thought I was going to get the bubble guts, because this makes me sick to my stomach right now hearing this, right? MLS, like Maddie said, I agree with him. We don't mind guys. Sometimes everybody gets fired or replaced or what have you. But Maddie told me something earlier, and I didn't think of it like that. And he started breaking it down. I'm like, wow, this was by design. This was definitely the knife in the back, right? This is definitely shake your hand with the right and stab you in the back with the left. This is what it was, guys. DC underachieved. We know this. They didn't do like they were expected to do. However, the way it's the way you do things. And I don't know. I don't know. Hey, ain't no loyalty out here in this game. But, yeah, Maddie, I'm just talking, speaking from a passion point of view. But I'm going to let you break it down from a logical point of view.
Okay, from the logical point of view. So the D.C. fans, which I'm not one of, so I have to get, you know, my information from somewhere. Like, this is from the outside looking in. You just say, okay, you know, they fired their coach. He's not doing well with this team and moving on. But, like I said, seeing him actually coach, because we went to a Nashville SC and the Red Bulls decision day 2023. And in a very close, tightly contested match, and he was right there on the sideline egging his guys on. He got a very close 1-0 win at Geodis Park, only Geodis Park game I went to, but you know it was memorable. And yes. Like I said, I've been a fan of him, not just because of that, but you know he got you guys that got you into the playoffs, right? So he's a heck of a coach. I wouldn't mind if he was my coach. I wouldn't have any qualms about him. But he was not backed up by the front office, right? He did not get the support. They did not get the players. They talked with you, I said they have one of the top, elite, definitely top 10 highest paid players in the league in Christian Benteke. But if you take him off of the DC United team, they're already like, because we talked about the salaries for the, you know, how they rank and everything. They're like 22nd or 23rd. They're down. They're not middle of the pack, but they're not down at the bottom. You take him off, just one player, take him off, and then they drop to the lowest team by far. So what that shows is there isn't a lot of highly paid individuals, and there's a paid disparity, and that also tells you that your team isn't that talented or that skilled, right? Because if you had if you took him off and it was, you know, there some guys behind him maybe making somewhat close to that, you can work with it. And it's not always a guarantee. You can look at who's making the most to find out, you know, the skill level. It's not linear like that. But a lot of times if you have guys that don't make a lot, they haven't performed quite, you know, there yet. They have a team that's loaded with these guys. Could they possibly do something in the future? Maybe. But right now they're not. So, who do they bring in? They bring in Rene Vélez from, he's of Swiss origin. Uh-huh. He was recently at the sporting director, which I found interesting, at Servette. He has, front office experience, but yeah, they're making him the coach. And I was starting to put the things together. And like I said, shout out to the DC fans for putting these the dots together. If he's got front office experience, and it sounds like their general manager is really coming under fire, he might be out the door very soon if this team doesn't do very well. And this guy could be interviewing through his coaching moves and everything for the front office position. Because what better position could you be in to be the general manager and to know the team intimately than to be in that locker room and to be like, I know these guys, I know who I have, and I know who I need. And it's like, think of it as a long-running season ending interview, right? I can see this as a move in a positive direction for them. I don't condone what they did to Troy Lesane and letting him go. If you don't feel that he's the candidate, let him go in the beginning of the season and start the season fresh. Don't let him go in the middle and say, okay, this isn't working. Oh, you, yes, come over here and we're going to sign you as our next guy. It just felt and sounds and looks so slimy. And shame on them for doing it. But, you know, maybe out of all of this bad, something good can happen. Because DC, I've mentioned it before, they've got a very storied history. I mean, they've won 4 MLS championships and countless U.S. Open Cups. And if anybody, quote, deserves, you know, to have success, it would be them. Because you want to see your franchise, your story franchises be successful. You don't want them to be the Cowboys of the world. And yes, that is a shot.
Deservedly so, but Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Maddie. Very well put. DC United super fans, I guess what Maddie's kind of sort of trying to say is that maybe long term this might be a good move for the better. Like you said, Rene, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, he has not only coaching experience but front office experience. And, you know, him coming in there, it actually might work out for the better for you guys. Like Maddie says, you have a very storied, you know, MLS history winning. But my thing is, what have you done for me lately?
They haven't done too much lately, but maybe this hire will turn things around. And we wish for nothing for the best. Because, I mean, everybody can't be a winner, but we can want there to be, you know, teams to win and things like that. It's just like, I have a soft spot in my heart for all of the OG original franchises. That be FC Dallas, which they were the Dallas Burn. You got the DC United, the Revolution, Colorado Rapids, you know, the OG original teams, Columbus Crew. Original team, the original franchises. I got a soft spot in my heart for them because they were there in the very beginning. They're still here now. So, yeah. You know, maybe this is their page where they turn and into the future, and success is around the corner. We hope so.
Yeah, and let me say this real quick, Maddie, and then we're finishing up here. Coach Lesane, Troy Lesane, come on home, bro. Come on back home to the Red Bulls. We definitely like to have you on the staff. Red Bull super fans organization, if you hear me out there, hear me speaking, put them on. We could use them. We could use this guy, definitely. Get him a job. He'd definitely be a great assistant, be part of the staff. Definitely great with the young players, and definitely could give us, at this point, midterm right now, because we're sitting at a D-minus, we could use all the help and motivation we can get. So if you're listening out there, or Troy, holler at all the Red Bulls, man, and come back and help us, man. Help us make this push. So we can get an A for the second half of the
yeah, that is, playoffs is all that matters. And like I said, maybe it could be the push you guys need. Well, that's going to wrap us up over here for the Superfan Soccer Cast.
Yeah, guys. So, all right, guys, until next time, have fun, be safe, and have a super fantastic week. Peace.
All right, you knuckleheads. Make sure to join us next time. Later.
Wild West.
For joining us and showing your support. Become a part of our community by subscribing to our Soccercast. Hit us up and send your comments to info@superfansusa.com. Peace.